Okay, taking your seats. Okay, so if you want to take notes, I encourage you to do that. Like I said at the beginning, in January, to write down those things that the Lord is saying to you. Write down those things that God is saying to you. Okay, God, expect God to speak to you when you read the Bible. Expect God to speak to you when you're reading spiritual books. Expect God to speak to you when you go to Band of Brothers and Sisters. Expect God to speak to you when you come to church on a Sunday morning. Expect God to speak to you if you're helping out on Alpha. And expect God to speak to you tonight because he loves you and he's got something to say. Is that exciting? Yeah. He's got something to say to each of us. So, Father in heaven, we just open our ears, our hearts and our minds to you, Lord. We ask you to speak to us tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Teach us something. Reveal more of yourself to us. Help us to be more like you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Martino.
Amen. Good evening. Nice to see you. Well done for turning out. This feels really good. Good atmosphere and presence of God here, and nice to see you lot. It's not like Thursday night when I went to Route 61 for the first time. I turned round expecting to see you lot for some reason. I don't know why. But I turned around and realised I don't really know anyone. It's funny, is it? Because Route 61's our thing. Every time I go, I just expect to feel totally at home and everything else. But the first night you turn around, it's like a room full of strangers. Do you think, who are you? And you sort of got to warm up together. But anyway, it's nice to be here with you guys. Do you want to open your Bibles to, if you've brought your Bibles, or you can just listen if you want, to Acts chapter 10. I'm just going to read the whole chapter, but I want to speak to you about what Stuart's been talking about hearing God, hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to try and do this in as much detail and sort of on the edginess and depth as I possibly can. I'm going to speak for about an hour, so let's warn you now, but I'm going to tell you everything I know about hearing God and how you can hear him too. So that's why it takes an hour, but it's also, this is all I know. Everything I know I'm going to share with you now, everything I've experienced I'm going to share with you now. Because this isn't Route 61, it's A61. And we need to be a church that can really hear God and a church filled with the Holy Spirit. It's very, very, very important, not just charismatic by name, but if we're going to experience revival, that revival Smith Wigglesworth prophesied, he described it as people of the Word and the Spirit. We can't just be lovers of the Bible and great Bible expositors, and that's not what God's going to do. We have to be people absolutely filled with the Holy Spirit as well. We have to know God, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, be able to move with him, be able to walk in faith. You can't walk in faith, move in miracles, go anywhere with God without hearing him. It's basic friendship of the Holy Spirit. How do you know you're hearing him and not the devil? How do you know you're hearing him and not yourself? That's what tonight's about. How can you get better at hearing him? Can you develop that? Yes. Can you get sensitive? Yeah. Can you experience new ways of hearing God? Yeah, absolutely you can. There's so many different ways of hearing God and experiencing God. And I want to encourage you to push the boundaries back in yourself. There shouldn't be any boundaries. You should just be open to the Holy Spirit. Oh, I'm not one of those people who gets visions. What, yet? Why not? Oh, I don't get dreams to date, but why not? Why not ask for dreams and visions and encounters with God where you see things and hear God's voice in your spirit or audibly or in your mind or through scriptures? We are here to know God more and to be filled with the Holy Spirit and learn to walk in the Holy Spirit. That's what we're here for. So let's read this together. Just banged the page and changed it, sorry. The reason I'm reading this passage is because it just shows how many different ways God speaks. God's very creative. He's always speaking. Love communicates. And this is just in one chapter. See if you can count how many ways he speaks. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God coming to him, and he said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a remembrance before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who's called Peter. He's staying with Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and one of his soldiers, who was a devout man. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. About noon the following day, as they were approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being dropped down to the earth from four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure what God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the man sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them to you." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We've come from Cornelius, the centurion. He's a righteous and God-fearing man. He was respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men in to the house to be his guests. You remember Peter wanted his dinner, so he wasn't going to set off without having his dinner. The next day, Peter set off with the brothers. Actually, do you know what? We'll leave it there. But I don't know whether you counted how many times God spoke in different ways. I counted loads. There was an angel. There was a vision. There is a voice. There is a trance. That might be a new one for many of you. Peter went up on the roof. There's prayer. While he's praying, he went at the roof. He became hungry. So there's the sort of there's normal, natural things that are inspiring this vision, this trance. He's hungry. The food's being prepared. He smells it. And he falls into a little food trance. "Oh, I'm going to have a vision about food." And he does. And there's a trance. There's a voice. Another voice says to Peter, "Kill and eat." Peter starts dialoguing with him. The voice. Then Peter starts wondering and considering. That's another way of hearing God. Considering what's been said and thinking about it. And as he's thinking about it, the Spirit speaks to him. This isn't the voice. This is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, speaks to him internally. "Simon, this is pretty accurate. Is this pretty detailed information people are getting here? This is pretty detailed information this non-Christian who God's going to save is getting from an angel. He's telling him who. He's telling him where. He's telling him where the house is. He's telling him what to do. And yet we as children of God can sometimes think, "Well, I don't think I'm going to hear God like that." Well, actually, we need to hear God like that. We need to be open to hear God like that, to know where, who, when, why. Detailed information, like a sat-nav. God, he lives by the sea. They find him. They shout out. The Spirit gives, speaks to him. It's not just like, "Oh, I had an impression I should go." It's not like that. It's like, This is personal friendship with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit says to him, Simon, calls him by name, three men are looking for you. Is this detail or what? Get up and go downstairs. Don't hesitate to go with them because I've sent them. As if he shouldn't already know that. He's been in a trance. He's seen a vision. He's heard a voice. Now the Holy Spirit interprets it. This is what it's about. There's three guys outside. Just go with them and everything will become clear. Just go. That's called Christianity, brothers and sisters. That's called walking in the Spirit, moving in the Spirit. And you'll see key things in there that sort of give you a background of a life of those who hear the Spirit. There's gifts to the poor mentioned. There's a righteous man is mentioned. Peter's going up to pray, even though he's hungry. He's not just going to help him with the dinner. At a certain time, which was his habit, he's going on the roof. He's getting alone with God to pray. Okay, listen, it's really, really important that we hear God. Let me just skip and jump through this a little bit first, but it is important. All of this is important. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Not just read my word, not just believe my truth, my doctrines, but hear my voice. That's part of the promise of Jesus for every sheep of his. And it's the example of Jesus. Jesus often rebuked the Pharisees who just read the word. Jesus said in John 12, the Father told me what to say and how to say it. That's detail. Didn't only get his messages from the Father told him how to say it. You know, those of you who preach and teach and who are going to teach and preach, it's not just what you say, it's how you say it that wins the day. You have to be able to pitch it right. You have to know who's there, what's happening, what the Lord's doing. You only get that from hearing God, being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. How do you develop a life of listening? First of all, Stuart already said it, you absolutely expect to hear God. That's normal. You're not just going to live your life like there's no God. Don't do that, brothers and sisters. Don't live your life like God. Well, God won't speak, so I'll live off my own wits, get some advice off our dad. And that's not us. We're people who have access to God. We expect God is going to direct my life. God loves me, love communicates. He's going to speak to me. He's going to speak to me today. He's going to speak to me tomorrow. It doesn't have to be dramatic. It might be very dramatic. It might be life-changing, directional change for me. But God is going to speak to me. That needs to be our absolute basic expectation. Not just coming to church. Not just going through religious rituals. Right now, if that's you, just repent where you're sat. Repent of unbelief. It's unbelief that. I'm just going to church. You're not just going to church. You're either going to meet God or you're not. You're either going to hear from God or not. I'll do A61 because that's what we meant to do. There needs to be a dimmer switch of expectation and faith turned up in our life. If you want to get used to hearing God's voice, you've got to expect to hear his voice. If you give him time, he's going to meet you. He's going to speak to you. And if you develop a listening lifestyle, then you're going to hear him all the time. And, you know, Zechariah was rebuked by the angel because though he was praying and in the holy place and doing all his religious, he had no expectation of God actually doing anything. I'm offering prayers, you know, maybe he was praying to have the child that we'd never been able to have, who knows? But he had no expectation, zero faith. And the angel turned up, and even then he's stumbling to believe it's happening. And gets rebuked sharply by God for it and disciplined for it. Silenced for 9 months because he wasn't speaking faith. He wasn't expecting God to speak to him. Expect God to speak to you. Number two, turn down other voices. There's always... You know, listening is a deliberate act. There are two sisters mentioned in Proverbs. One is called foolishness, folly, and one is called wisdom. Folly cries out in the streets all the time, saying to all the passers-by, it says in Proverbs, come in here and eat my delicacies. Stolen water is sweet. Come in here. That woman is speaking loud and clear every day of your life. It's called the spirit of the world. Through newspapers, through the internet, through television, through films, That woman never shuts up. The woman folly is loud, it says in Proverbs. She is loud. But good news, she's not the only person speaking. There's another message continually going out, morning, noon, and night. There's another woman called Wisdom. Wisdom also cries out in the streets, saying, come in here and eat what is good. Listen and you'll live and be disciplined and come and get to know God. And that message is going out as well. There's churches everywhere. There's evangelists everywhere. There's Christians everywhere inviting people, come in here and listen to something else. But there are two different things to tune into. You can't be tuned into one woman and hear the other. Yeah, I can't be tuned into the spirit of the world all the time. You have to live in the world. You have to relate, connect, fair enough. But you can't be swallowed up and filled with it. Or you'll never hear God like the apostles heard God, like the early church heard God, like these guys did. Never, because your mind is just filled with often not evil things, just nothing in particular. Garbage, rubbish, nothing. There's no space for God, so turn down all the other voices. It's amazing I can have someone speaking to you, but you're not necessarily listening, are you? I mean, guys and wives know this all too well. You know when your wife knows when you're actually listening to her or whether you've just gone off somewhere. And Margaret sees that glazed look on my face. She says, you listen to me? I say, yeah, of course I'm listening to you. She said, well, what was I saying? I said, come on, let's not get specific. Let's not get technical. It's a spiritual listening. You're either listening or you're not. Choosing to listen to the Holy Spirit is a choice. It's something you consciously tune into or not. Well, you know, forgive me if I've said this a lot of times, you've heard me say it, but I always say about the birds, usually birds are singing. Very rarely are no birds whistling and singing. Most of the time, during the day, the birds are singing. You can actually hear them anytime you want to. You just choose to. Switch off the car radio, turn off the car engine, open the car window, and listen for a minute. Listen. Oh! You'll hear a little bird. That sound is there all the time. So is God's sound. The Holy Spirit is speaking all the time about many things. Those who want to be friends with him, listen. Turn down other noises, including worship music and everything else, and let there be peace. And listen, and God will speak to you. It's not some great exercise. He'll speak to you. You'll start to think things, hear things, see things more and more clearly. Number one, expect to hear. Number two, turn down other voices. Number three, absolutely determined to hear. Get into dialogue in prayer. Don't let your prayer be one-sided. In other words, hit the brakes if you don't hear. Say to God, I'm not taking another step until you speak to me clearly. This is your birthright. God loves it when you get real with him. God loves it when you treat him like an actual person instead of just like a principle. That's not personal. It's just ridiculous. We don't treat God like a real person. We treat other people like real people. If I have a conversation with you and ask you something. So what do you do for a living, Jenny? The other thing is, hang on a minute. I thought you just asked me what I did for a living. I did. I don't actually expect you to say anything back to me, Jenny. I'm just going to keep talking to you. Let me tell you what I do for a living. That's how our prayer life often is with God. I don't exactly, don't interrupt me, God. I'm talking. And God wants to say to you, hang on a minute, I've got some answers for you. You're asking me about your marriage. You're asking me about your money. You're asking me about your kids. Well, shut up for a minute and I'll speak to you. Or if you don't feel your hearing, determined to hear. If it's over a big issue, brothers and sisters, you have to hear God. You have to hear God. We have no hesitation about stopping the church, stopping everything, if we don't hear God as a leadership team. We can't lead the church by good ideas. Or let's do that because we did it last time. You can't do that. If we don't hear God, we hit the brake. Right. Should we do another? No others. Let's pray. Let's get together. Let's hear God. We have to hear God to know what to do next. Not doing our own thing, not doing religion. We're in relationship with God here. If we're not hearing him, we're not listening enough. All right, let's pray. Let's fast if we need to. Let's listen to God. Let's stop. Let's give him some space. Let's honor God as God. You do that in your life and you'll hear God, because you're taking him seriously. You're determining to hear him. You're saying, I'm going to hit the brake. No, I'm not going, I'm not moving from here, Lord, till I'm not going to do my own thing. I'm just going to get some advice from someone else and do their thing for my life. That's a great danger. I'll go and ask a leader. Why? You know God. You ask God. God will speak to you. Determine. Number four. Oh no, do you know what? That is it. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, done. Let me just tell you. This is what I think is a healthy way. Before I run through a list of how-tos, let me tell you what I think is a healthy way of communicating about whether you're hearing God or not. And it's something we use in the team all the time as a grid. This will save you from being immature and proud and becoming silly in other people's eyes. Let me explain what I mean. If you say all the time, God said to me, God said to me, God said to me this, God said to me that, God said to me the other, A, you're probably wrong on some of it, but you're getting proud and immature. God, God said, God said, God said, God said. That's not wise communication with other people. You'll become silly in their eyes. They won't take you seriously because they'll just get sick of you, rabbiting on about what God said to you. You need a bit of wisdom here and a filter for you to be able to check yourself to understand what you mean. And this is what we use in the team. We have three levels of whether we're hearing God, and we communicate it at that level. Level number one, we call having faith for something. It's the lowest level of hearing God. We talk in terms of having faith for something. Instead of saying, God told me to run an alpha course, if he hasn't actually told you to run an alpha course, but you've got faith for an alpha course, you use that type of language instead. Listen, guys, I've got some faith for us to run an alpha course. Can you see that that's different? It's different. There's get out. If you're wrong, other people can say, nah, I don't see that at all. Go back to the drawing board. It's the wrong time. Or you can get out of it yourself. If I say God's told me I can't get out of it very easily, or I shouldn't be able to get out of it very easy, or you make God's told me nothing, but it is something very big. Brothers and sisters, don't be immature, don't be super spiritual. If you've got faith for something, that's a good sign that you're probably hearing God, but it's probably, so say you've got faith for it. Now, we never make any decision in the leadership team or personally, me and Margaret, in our life on I've got faith for it. Not if it's going to cost us money or time. If it isn't going to cost us a lot of time and it isn't going to cost us a lot of money, it's low risk. If you've got faith for it, go for it. If it's going to cost you a lot of money, or the church a lot of money, or you a lot of time, I've got faith for it isn't enough. You must go to level two. Level two is, we talk in terms of hearing God. You know what? I'm hearing God about this. For that level, we would have definitely maybe had some prophetic confirmation of what we're thinking. We'll be reading it in the scriptures. We'll have seen it three times that day in different scriptures. And we'll sit talk in terms of hearing God. You know, I feel as though I'm hearing God on this. You know, it's not just, it's beyond I've got faith for it, which is a spiritual, I've got a good idea, isn't it? It's beyond that. It's, you know, I'm hearing God on this. This was in my daily scripture reading. Someone prophesied over me, band of brothers, said exactly the same thing. And you know what, I came to church and they were preaching on it. I'm definitely hearing God on this. You've got a bigger measure of faith for this, haven't you? Can you see that? See the difference? You've got a bigger measure of faith because faith comes through hearing. And God's beginning to build that faith bank. Then there's level three, and we talk in terms of God has spoken. This is where all bets are off. God has spoken to you, and if God has spoken to you, you know. And all the team can say no, but you've jolly well got to say yes, because God has spoken to you. And the world can be against you, Moses, but it doesn't matter, because God has spoken. That's a different level altogether. And you can, I think using those things, are really, really, really important. You know, when I came out of my job in the Oakwood Centre, I'd worked there for, you know, it was a good job, and it was a secure job, and it was a job where God was moving. Hundreds of people were being saved over the years, you know. The church was growing, and I was going to lots of different nations and taking teams out and travelling a lot in our own stream and across some other streams of churches as well. And there was absolutely no reason to leave. I had a lot of brothers who I loved and working together, and la-di-da-di-da, it was fine. But God spoke to me. One night, I woke up in the middle of the night, which is very unlike me because usually I sleep through the night. And about 3 o'clock in the morning or something, bright as a button. And I've learned in my own life that God's going to say something. So it was jumped out of bed. It was freezing cold. It was winter. So I went and filled the warm bath and got in there, because I've also learned that sometimes he doesn't speak straight away. And I sat in the bath for maybe 20 minutes, maybe half an hour. And then, sure enough, God spoke to me. It wasn't having faith for something. And it wasn't, ooh, I think I'm... It was, God has spoken. He said to me, I want you to leave your job. I want you to resign the eldership. You're not going to work for any church. You're going to work for the church. It was a significant, pivotal moment in my life. I had to take that word to Margaret, who was going to experience, instead of me getting a salary every month from a big church, getting nothing from anyone and just living by faith and not having newsletters or asking anyone or anything like that, but just trusting God. It's a big... There's a lot of faith needs to come to make something like that happen. So there's process, but it came after God had spoken. God spoke to me. I had to go and share that with the elders. None of them agreed. Everyone said, that's absolute rubbish. You're the longest standing leader here. Everything's happening around you. There's no way we can do without you. Absolutely no chance. We don't accept it. So you can't just cause a lot of damage. It's God's church. So I had to wait and pray and keep going back to them with it. And I felt God said this. I really feel God said this. You know, he's spoken to me. I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know what it's going to look like. Then they offered me half time because it kept coming back. And the other thing was, after that, I had 16 different prophetic words off people, public prophetic words saying the same thing, which helped because the elders were there. We'd go to a conference and I'd be picked out, that guy there. I've just seen the word released over you. And it's something about you've got to go out and just forget what's behind you and there's a new day coming. I'd be looking at the elders and they'd be going. And 16 of them. We wrote them all down and kept them all as you would. 16 different messages over 6 months. At the end of 6 months, when it got to about 16, they said to me, look, you know, we don't want you to do it. We think it's wrong. We think it's a mistake. We think it's bad for the church. But if you're determined to do it and you think it's God, you can do it. Before that, they offered me half time. And, you know, you're trying to be reasonable, aren't you? These are your brothers. You know, it's not easy. So I said to them, well, let me think about it. But as I was walking out the office, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, this is different. This is different from God has spoken. This is the internal Holy Spirit, the voice of, which I'm going to come to. I'm going to show you the hows and whys. Now you know the difference in a minute. We will get to it. Because it's very important we get to it. But I'm just showing you how it works in life. As I was walking out of the office, the Holy Spirit said to me, Saul's armor. Because I knew the Bible, I knew what that meant. I knew that was from David's battle with Goliath. David had this impossible battle with Goliath. This, for me, felt like an impossible step of faith into nothing. Into nothing. I didn't know any other denominations. I wasn't invited anywhere to speak. It seemed like suicide, ministry suicide to do it. But as I walked out of that office, the Holy Spirit said to me, Saul's armor. And what happened for David was, David had faith to go and fight this giant from God. So they offered him some help. Here, put my armor on, Saul said, the king said. David put it on. And it was totally cumbersome for him. He would have died in that armor. It would have killed him. I honestly believe it would have killed me to go half time for the Oakwood. Because I wouldn't have done what God told me to do. I'd have half stepped. And if you half step when God's speaking to you, it's fatal over a jump like that. You can't half jump. You've got to really run and jump. So I said to them, no, pretty quick. I think that day I went back in the office and said, nah. Which they were quite knacked about, to be honest. Following God isn't easy, you know. I mean, doing what God wants isn't always going to get a smile off everyone. Everyone's put on the back. It doesn't work like that. And, you know, and then they said, you know, if that's what's going to happen, that's what's going to happen. You know, you go, but we don't agree with it. So we're not going to give you any money. We're not going to give you a gift to go. I'd worked there for 15 years. We're not going to give you any money. We're not going to give you any support. You're on your own, buddy. And I walked out of that office feeling on my own. And I got back home and I said to Margaret, that's it, it's done. It's awesome. Do you want the other little half of this story? It's interesting. Because, and this can jump us into the first point of the next little bit as well. How does God speak to us? Well, he speaks through, we'll do this one first, creation. He speaks through creation a lot more than you think. And it's not just, isn't it a nice day? Creation is his, and he speaks through creation very supernaturally, often by altering it. He spoke to Moses through a fire that would not go out in a bush. He spoke to Joshua through a sun that sat in the sky and didn't move until the battle was won. He split seas. He brings tax payment out of the mouths of fish. He walks on water. He stills storms. He raises the dead. He speaks through creation on one level, which is the glory of God, the beauty of God, but he also uses creation in supernatural and specific ways. That's what he did for us. During this process, Margaret's got to catch up with me, hasn't she? She's got to believe with me that next month's mortgage is going to be paid. I'm going to finish work one month, and the next month we need to pay the mortgage before I've got any ministry or any. And she's got to believe in me for this new life. And we weren't leaving the church, but I was leaving the leadership, which is a big thing. You're stepping out to be a sort of, I don't know, you're on the edge, you're travelling around, you're not in the inn anymore. It's a big thing. She has to catch up with me. Over those 6 months, she's praying, asking the Lord to speak to her. I can't tell you all of her story, but I'll tell you one thing he specifically said to her. One day, when it was getting a bit, maybe nasty is a bit heavy, but it wasn't very nice with the guys and with everyone at this point, and we were sad. She stood at the kitchen sink, and she looked outside this apple tree that's across from our back garden. It's not our tree, but we do eat the apples off it when they fall into our garden. And she looked at this apple tree, and she looked at one particular apple, and the Holy Spirit spoke to her, and he said, the day that apple falls from the tree will be the day of your release. Right, that was when, you know, the apples were full. It was autumn. And the interesting thing is, and of course, this is supernatural. The interesting thing is, you know, autumn came and went, and every apple fell off that tree except that one. Winter came and went. We had snow, we had winds, we had all sorts. November, December, January, that apple's on the tree. Now the apple's famous in our house. The kids are watching it with binoculars. I'm going out and standing looking at it going, no way, no way, no way. And Margaret, she had to wait. There's all sorts of ins and outs and political going ons as I was coming out of the church. And on that day, when they said to me, that's it, no more talking and dear. If God has said this to you, we don't see it, we don't think it's right, but you're going, that's it, you're done. That was it. That day, I went home and said to Margaret, it's done, I'm out, it's finished. And she was like a little bit teary, and I give her a hug. And as I did, I looked at pastor, and the apple was gone. I knew it was there the day before, because our Joe was watching it with a telescope from the from his window. We're always joking about it. That was April. April. It was coming into the next spring. That apple was still there. And it was gone off the tree. I went, oh, no way. Margaret said, what? I said, look. And she went, no, no, no. We walked out. The apple was gone. It was like God speaking through creation, supernaturally, to us. He does that. He can speak to you through creation. He speaks to you through the animals. The day Pete Conroy's brother committed suicide was a bad day for him. They rang me and told me, and I had to ring him and then go and see him. Just before I rang him, he was distracted. He was in his house on his own, and a little bird flew in. It was banging itself against the windows and hurting itself. He was filled with compassion for it. He spent about an hour trying to get it out of the house. Finally, he managed to get hold of it. He took it outside and let that little bird go. As he did, I rang. Of course he wept. Of course he was shocked. Of course he was devastated at one level. At another level, he said to me, brother, God has just spoken to me about our Matthew. Matthew had a mental illness and was depressed for years. And you can see it already, can't you, what God said? Banging himself against that window, banging himself against that window, but God in his mercy had just let him be released from it, from this life. That was a massive comfort for Pete, massive strength to him. God can speak through creation, send a little bird somewhere, keep an apple a whole season too long. He can do what he likes. He's God, isn't he? God speaks through creation. And that's in that Acts 10, because he's speaking about food while there's food on. He's smelling the food. He's thinking about the food. God speaks through angels, through his messengers. Angels like Wild West postmen who come with God's messages to those who need them. I don't think I've ever seen an angel. I don't know whether anyone here has. But it's awesome if you have. And, you know, who knows? Who knows? Mysterious to me, but super scary, the thought to me as well, actually. And I did actually pray that I would never see an angel once when I went in the bed sit on my own. When my dad kicked me out for being a Christian and I went to live in the bed sit on my own, I'd just become a Christian. I'd read about angels appearing and I thought, if an angel ever appears in my room, I'm going to absolutely die of fear. So I said, please, God, never let me see an angel. And you might have, you know what? And that's okay with me still. That's okay, I think. Have you, Roy? That's awesome. Do you want to tell us about it, Roy? Okay, awesome. But angels are real. God's messengers, part of the world to come and connected to us, sent as ministers to serve those who are being saved. They're sent to serve us and help us. God speaks through situations. And situations, this might seem like general guidance stuff. I tell you, it's the voice of God stuff often, and we miss it. Through situations, through losing those keys, through missing that bus, through being at a meeting, not being at a meeting, God is after our attention. He's after our attention. And when you tune into him, not just into a general sense of his sovereignty, okay, God, I trust you, you know what's best. That is going on too. But we're talking about the fine-tuned stuff tonight. I'm talking about being able to hear him when something seemingly isn't going the way you thought it should and could. God's in it. He's saying something. Don't miss the gem in it. Try and hear what he's... Ask him what he's saying, what he's saying. I mean, for me, often it's just... often God speaks to me when I'm ill. And often it's because I won't stop enough, you see. Because I won't stop. If he really wants to speak to me and I'm too busy, he stops me. It's called flu. or a few days of something, and I'm wiped out on the bed and I cannot move, and this has happened to me several times, and God comes to me and speaks to me and shows me massive revelations of things I wouldn't have had time or inclination to think about. It's like, I don't think I need to get ill. I think that's because I'm stupid and don't listen. But if I'm sensitive, I can hear before then. But it's like, I need to say something to you, Martin. I need to say something to you, Martin. I need to say something to you, Martin. Oh, flu. Sit down. Let me speak to you. That's happened several times to me. And I think God is in many situations where he's after our heart and hearing us. God speaks through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, encouraging us along, blessing us through prophecy. So important that you share what you hear for each other. It's the major encouragement for the church, is to hear God prophetically for one another. That's what Band of Brothers, Band of Sisters is all about. It's not just fellowship. It's certainly not Bible study. It's not prayer. It's nice to pray for each other, but it's not that only. It is hearing God for each other. And you know how encouraged you are when the third person all says the same thing in different ways. You know it's God. You feel blessed. You feel personally touched by God. It's very important. It's what prophecy is for. It's what and it's a massive encouragement to one another. I want to encourage you not just to pray for each other, but to wait and hear. Believe you and dare to believe that you're hearing God and share it. It's a massive, massive help. Do you know some of the personal prophecies when you get together? You know, hear God at the end of the night. That's what me and Franco and Jill always used to do. You know, we've been friends for years around Pastor. And even though we've been in different churches and miles apart often, we'd go around their house for a meal. And honestly, not exaggerating or anything, every time we get together, God would speak something significant. I mean, the first ever prophecy we had about moving from that church, one of those 16, was a lady who came up to us in a conference, me and Margaret, and said, "The trees are moving. I just see Macbeth." The story of Macbeth. Some of you might know it, some of you might not. But an army dress as trees and they start moving towards this battle. And no one sees them coming because they're dressed as trees. And this woman said, "You're moving. You and an army are moving and no one sees it coming. But already your roots are coming up and you're moving." Right towards the end of that process, a year later, we were at their house in the midst of all this moving and changing church. And we didn't see them for them to know what was going on. We didn't. But Jill said, we sat down and started to pray. And Jill said, "Oh, I just see these trees moving. The Ents are going to war." She used a different image of the Lord of the Rings. So you know the trees on Lord of the Rings, they're going to war. Is that encouraging? It's massively encouraging to me. I think, oh yeah, we're still moving. We're still going to war. And this is it now. The beginning of the process was a loosening of our roots. Now we're literally beginning the battle that we're going to war. And just because it's been a slow process, it doesn't matter. We're going to war. We're going to be an army moving. And that's prophetic. Encouragement is massively, massively important. And I want to encourage you to prophesy over one another. Let me just say three things about gifts of the Holy Spirit very quickly to do with prophecy, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, all that stuff. That just to guide you in it. First of all, if you read 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 11, I haven't got time to do this with you now, but I'll just tell you it and you can go and do it for yourself. I want you to just notice two things. One is that there's a lot of difference and there's a lot of the same. So for instance, Paul keeps saying, different gifts, different gifts, different gifts. But the end of every sentence he says, they're all the same. Different gifts, but the same Spirit. Different workings, but the same Lord. Different, but the same, but the same, but the same. And what we often do with gifts of the Spirit is focus on the difference. So we say, I've got this gift, you've got that gift. Or I have words of wisdom, but I don't know what a word of knowledge is. And I don't know what a word of faith is. And I don't know what word... And we sort of differentiate. He's got a gift of healing. That's how the body works. I don't think that's what it's saying at all. I think it's saying this. Listen, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you've got the whole toolbox. It's all available to you. Who can heal? Whoever jolly well wants to. Who can get a word of wisdom? You can get a word of wisdom for someone. A friend comes to you and asks you for advice. What, you can't ask the Holy Spirit to give them a word of wisdom that unlocks something for them? Of course you can. Can you prophesy? Can you pray? You can do that. What's the difference? What's the difference between a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom? Hardly anything. It's just all prophecy. Don't get all figuring out the great difference between a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge and the interpretation of tongues and tongues. It's all moving in the Holy. It's far more fluid. It's not boxed and categorized like that. Read the passage again. It's totally fluid. Different, the same. Different, the same. Different, the same. All of those gifts of the Holy Spirit can operate in any of you. I'm absolutely convinced. Which of the gifts of the Holy Spirit have I operated in? All of them. All of them. Miracles, healing, faith, wisdom. All of them. I need them all, don't you? I need to reach into my toolbox and get something totally different every time. So I'm in Spain and some poor gypsy comes up with no teeth in their head and they're in agony. I need a gift of faith for a miracle. Some teeth to appear and some... I'm sat in the elders meeting with those guys. I don't need faith. I need wisdom. I don't need my own ideas or experience. I don't need that. That isn't going to help me. I need the Holy Spirit. That's it. That's it, Lord. It's a word of wisdom that unlocks something. That's the way. It's from God. It's not just me either. It's all of us. It's all of them. It's all of us getting gifts together as we need them. Earnestly desire gifts of the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters. How do you function in them? By faith, take action, speak. By faith, in other words, have a go. Have a go. Pretend. Bluff it. Tell yourself, I'm going to get a word of knowledge for someone and I'm going to go and share it. Then make one up and go and share it. And do you know what? You'll be amazed. You'll be right. Because your making up is in the Holy Spirit, actually. It is. That's how we get words of knowledge. That's how I get words of knowledge. I deliberately go and make them up. I create them in the Holy Spirit. So I was driving to a meeting in somewhere out in the countryside one day, and I'm going to go and share my testimony. I can either share my testimony or I can take gifts of the Holy Spirit as well, can't I? That's up to me. I can share my testimony. That's a nice night. But we're not there for nice nights. We're there for the kingdom of God to come and stuff to happen. For that, we need gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's with me. Beyond just words of testimony, we need his revelation and action to really change people. So I tune in. Tune in. How do you do that? You just pray. Right, Lord, I'm available. Drive my car. I'm going to share some words of knowledge tonight, so give me some, Lord. Amen. Right. Next thing I see on this road's a word of knowledge. What is it? Come round a bend. There's one of those signs of, you know, horses. A man on a horse. I think, right, man on a horse. You know, I sort of scribbled it down. Don't tell anyone I was driving. Scribbled it down. Man on a horse. That'll do. And that's how I got. I probably had 20 words of knowledge that night. That's how I got them all. Right, what's the next thing? Long grass. Long grass. Doesn't have to be anything big. How does it become a word of knowledge? Well, that's in the meeting. In the meeting, while I'm sat down and they're all having this little supper together, I'm not eating much because I'm nervous because I'm going to share my testimony and do words of knowledge. And it's scary, isn't it? Is it scary? It's scary. Yeah, it's all right. It's scary. Get up and prophesy on Sunday. Of course it's scary. Still right to do it. Doesn't matter if you're a bit wrong, frankly. It's more important that we're moving in gifts of the Holy Spirit. Far more important than you get it wrong. Get it wrong all the time. Actually, when you take a step of faith and dare do it, you actually end up falling on your feet. You get it right. Because God backs faith. He loves faith. So I say, horseman, write it down. When I get there, pull that bit of paper out while people are eating and have a look. Horseman, well, Then you meditate on that. So a horseman, what about a horse? If you're on a horse, you're going slower than a car. I mean, brilliant revelations, you know. All right, going slower. And horses usually don't go on the road. They usually go where it's a bit rougher. Going slow, a bit rough, off the road. That's a word of knowledge. If you start to prophesy that over someone, it'll develop a little bit as you're prophesying it, won't it? It will. You know how to flounce it up and make it all shiny and nice. That's all you do. You're good with words. You just do that. Make it nice. It's got to be encouraging. Never negative. Never exposing sin. No, that's not God. Encouraging, positive. That's your key. You can't lose. So then, I take it a step further. And you don't have to do this if you don't want, but I need to keep sharp. You could just stand up and say, I believe there's a man here on a horse or something. Or, you know, there's someone here who feels like they've been on a horse. Or you, well, I don't know, you could just share it like that. Or you could ask God, who's it for? And so I'm looking at my little list and saying, right, who's it for? First one on the list, horseman. And I look straight away and I see this guy, this older guy, who doesn't look like he owns a horse at all. He's just sat at the back, and him and his missus on a table right at the back. And I see him, and he was my first little thought. And he's the key with the Holy Spirit. He's always your first thought, the Holy Spirit. Spirit is faster than flesh. Your flesh comes in afterwards. Then my second thought, which is me, I think, oh no, he doesn't look like he owns a horse. Look at her over there with the green wellies. She owns a horse. It's for her. Which one's the Holy Spirit? The first one. Brothers and sisters, might be a help to you. It's always the first one. Because the Holy Spirit is fast. And flesh, thank God, is a bit slower. Reason is slower than spirit. So then, I just have to have guts then, don't I? And the best thing to do is bluff it and act like a professional. Act like you've been doing it all your life. And stand up and say, I'm going to share my testimony tonight, but before I do, I've just got some words from God for people. People are like, ooh, ooh, ooh. I've got a word for that guy over there, sat with that lady there. Yeah? I just saw a picture of a man on a horse. All his table start laughing. His second name was Horseman. Was that good? Yes, there is a God. And then I say, and I don't know why they're laughing. Till later. So I've got to keep going in faith. And I just believe that God's saying, you're not on the road you were on, which was the fast road. You're off in the rough bit. Him and his wife start crying. And that's, which is always a good sign, by the way. Because something's happening. Either really disagree or they agree, but something's happening. And then, can you see that you could say I'm bluffing it, couldn't you? Am I just having a go? I'm just having a go. I am. I could be wrong. Of course I could be wrong. And I often say that. I say, listen, I'm going to share these words with you. I might be wrong, but I'm going to share them anyway. You don't have to accept them, but I hope they're a blessing to you. Then you share them. And he came up to me at the end. He was a pastor who had a nervous breakdown. He'd had to step out of his ministry. Someone else was in his pulpit. He was going through a rough time, a lot slower than he had been going. That word was, it's got to be positive at the end. So think up a positive ending. Isn't this spiritual? Think up a positive ending. But the Lord says that's not going to last forever. You're going to come back onto that road and you'll be all the better for it. Don't worry, he loves you. That sounds like prophecy to me, isn't it? He was massively, massively encouraged. His wife were encouraged and blessed because that's what prophecy's for. He went home knowing that God loves him. Does he love him? Yes. That God wants to speak to him. Did he want to speak to him? Yes. But the fudgy, clunky, faithy, struggly bit in the middle is all mine. Brothers and sisters, if you want to move in the Holy Spirit, you want to see people healed, you want to do miracles, you're welcome. Join me in the clunk life. You have to clunk it through. Faith isn't all. I had a perfect vision of someone getting out of a wheelchair and it's him and I'm going. It might be like that occasionally, very occasionally. Most of the time, God backs your faith. I've often in a meeting when I've known the Holy Spirit wants to do something big, so the whole meeting's going to change. I can feel it. It's building, it's building. And I often have said to the Lord over the years, go on then. And every time he says to me, after you. Every time. Okay, after me. I get up. The Holy Spirit's going to do something right now. You got it. God loves faith. If you want to walk in the Spirit and move in the Spirit, faith is the key. Gifts of the Holy Spirit are massively, massively, massively important. And stepping out in faith, God wants to speak to you, but also through you. And as he speaks through you, you get attuned to, you understand him more, how he works, what he's after, what he says, how he says it. And that's a massive help to you. Are you okay to keep going? Sure, tell me if you're not, because anyway. He speaks through preachers, you know that, I'm not going to go on about it anymore. You know when you come to church, you don't come to hear men, you come to hear God, you know that. If you come to hear God, you'll hear God. If you come to hear men, you'll hear men, and there's a very big difference. He speaks occasionally through an audible voice. A voice said to him, which was distinct from the Spirit said to him. A voice, God can just speak to you out loud. He spoke to me over the last 30 years out loud twice. I've heard, you know, like a voice in my room, both times in a bedroom, once in Spain, once in England. Significant, beautiful, amazing. He speaks through. Have you got time? Okay. I was in the bed sit. When I first became Christian, my dad asked me to leave. It's a nice way of putting it. And I left and I got a bed sit in Middlesbrough. When I got the bed sit, I was on the ground floor, and my bed was against the window, and I used to be a bit scared of the dark then, because I was only young, I was only 18, and I used to switch the light off quick and run and jump in my bed, and pull the covers over my ears, and I know, sad, but I still do it, only when Margaret's not in the bed, and then one night, I was in the room, and I sort of woke up, and I just felt the presence of God. I felt great peace in the middle of the night. Actually, do you know what? I think it's probably the only other time in my life. So I'm not saying this stuff happens to me all the time, please. It doesn't. Darren always says to me, when you tell those stories, it makes me feel like nothing. I'm not telling them for that. I'm telling them because it's A61. We're meant to be pushing the edge here so that people move. And I know some of you have been believers for decades. You've been into this stuff. This stuff's bread and butter for you, but I want you to go beyond. So I'm telling you the edge of what I know, what I've experienced of the Spirit here. This is the outer edge for me. In the middle of the night, I woke up. Presence of God was absolutely in the room, so I had total peace. I sat up. I would have never done that in the dark. It was a new house. I was spooked of the dark, but I had no fear. I just felt total peace. I sat up in the bed, and so I could have some light in the room, I pulled the curtains open, which again is something I wouldn't have normally done, because Gaskin's nightclub was just outside. And people used to come out the nightclub and be effing and being outside the window, and they'd fight right outside the window sometimes. So I would never pull the curtains back. But I don't know why I did it, I just did. As I did, a couple of things happened. One was, someone came and stood at the window outside. And at the same time, God spoke to me out loud. And he said this: treat every man as though it were Christ himself. And I don't know whether I got a bigger shock from the voice or from the face at the window, but I went, rah! And jumped. And as I jumped, this lad stood at the window, jumped as well. Rah! And I said, what do you want? And he said, nout. And all that was going through my head was, treat every man as though it were Christ himself. Treat every man as though it were Christ himself. Like a siren going in my head. And I said, do you want to come in? Oh, do you want a cup of tea? And he said, yeah, all right then. I mean, is this weird? It's pretty weird, isn't it? It's the middle of the night. There's a bloke been walking along. Because my window's open, I'm sat right next to the window. He sees a bloke sat up
in bed in the middle of the street, and he stops, and I shout, and he shouts. And he doesn't know, I've heard the voice of God. And the voice said, treat every man as though Christ himself. So I'm opening my door, and I'm going to open the back door. And I'm thinking, what am I doing? Who is this guy? Why is he coming and treat every man as though Christ himself? Treat every man as though Christ himself. There was another lad's motorbike in the kitchen. I thought, these lads are going to kill me for letting a stranger in, you know. But I thought, you know, treat every man as though Christ himself. At least that made him a cup of tea. So I opened the door, and I had a little chat with him. And, you know it's going to be a big dramatic story, don't you? And it was. This lad had come out of prison for a not very nice crime, been rejected by his family, tried to sleep two nights in a school doorway, and was walking down to the river to kill himself, to throw himself in off the bridge. As he walks past my bedroom window, I'm there. He gets a shock. This weird bloke invites him in for a cup of tea. Weirdly, it was just as weird for him as it was for me. Weirdly, he accepts. Doesn't even know what he's doing. Comes in, and I make him a cup of tea, talk to him, tell him about Jesus, give him some hope. See, he can stay in my bed, sit for a while till he gets himself together. I said, listen, the other lad upstairs has gone away. Ray left me his key. I said, I'll just go and get you some stuff, you know. And I'm still freaked out a bit and shocked and weird, and it's all very supernatural. And I walk upstairs and I open Ray's bedroom and I go across his floor to get him some stuff. As I do, I kick a book. Ray was studying theology and different things. The book spins open. Well, it was spinning. It was already open on this page. Spins. And I picked it up. I turned it over. It was the rule of Saint Benedict. Right? I mean, this only gets weirder, I'm just warning you. I turned it round. It was the beginning of a new chapter. And it was the rule for the brother who keeps the door of the monastery at night. And then it had a quote from Saint Benedict. And the quote said, treat every man as though it were Christ himself. I know that sounds weird, but actually, that was a massive help to me. I didn't know this lad from Adam, Andrew was called. I was going to let him sleep next to me in a room on the floor, and I was still freaked about the whole thing. Reading that just gave me enough peace to keep going with it, and it worked, you know. It was like a miraculous salvation for him. Massive God encounter for me. I think those things are rare. I think God speaks out loud when he knows there's no other way you're going to hear. And he didn't need to do it right there. I think so, mind you. The other one was different. But anyway, well, I'm not telling the other one because I just haven't got time. There's too many other things to say. No, it's fine. The other one's just like a personal thing, really. Well, it's not personal, but it's anyway. I haven't got time. It's 20 past nine. What time do you want to go to bed? Dreams. God's, oh no, this one, very important. The voice of the Spirit. The still, small voice of the Spirit. Close, personal, not what you're thinking, clear. If you want to write anything down, write those words down because they're going to help you. How do I know when the Holy Spirit is speaking to me? And I'll say this quite clearly in a preach or to the lads or anything or to Margaret. I feel as though this is like God has spoken to me, actually, when the Holy Spirit speaks. It's often not what I'm thinking. It's close. It's not a voice. It was very different from me in the bath that night. It's internal. It's not quite me, but near me. I find it really hard to exactly explain how you know, but you do know. You can know. You can know this more, that it's him when it is him. And I'd say it feels close, personal, loving, clear. It's not what you're thinking. How is it different from when it's you and the devil? Let me tell you. When the devil speaks to you, and unfortunately he does, when the devil speaks to you, to me, I've sort of thought about this. What does it feel like to try and explain it on this course? To me, when the devil speaks to me, it feels like a whisper. It's negative. It's often paranoia and fear. Oh, do you know what they're thinking? Oh, that'll be the same as usual. Oh, always happens to you, that. Yeah, you know what she's done as well? She's probably done that as well. And it's always negative, fear, no one's with you. Yeah, typical, no one cares for you. That's the devil.
And it's a negative. Often he wants to create panic, fear, unbelief. If it creates unbelief, what you're sensing, it's not God, it's not him, it's the devil whispering to you. If it's you, your voice and your thoughts, your just internal voice, let me tell you what that's like. As I've thought about that, this is how I would describe that when I think something. It's usually silly, extreme, super spiritual. This is your flesh speaking. It wants you to look spiritual. It wants you to feel spiritual. It's earthy. It's normal. Thankfully, it's quite hard to believe it. It's quite hard to believe. If you have a vision or a dream that's from you, they're quite hard to believe. You're mustering every ounce of faith in your body to believe it because they're sort of hollow, shallow, sugary, daft. That's me when I know it's me. If it's to do with ministry, often it's extreme, or it's trying to look good or put you in a place where you'll feel good about you. It smooths your feathers the right way. Often the Holy Spirit, what he says is quite the opposite. It's exactly the opposite you're thinking. I was preaching at a church once. We had absolutely no money. We were praying for money to go on holiday. We were desperate to go on holiday, and school holidays were coming up. We were desperate for some money. I was praying for some money, and thankfully I got this preach in this church, and it was the opening of a church. It was a big deal, you know, the opening of a building. And they asked me to preach, so I thought, this is going to have some money involved. Yes! Didn't think anything about the people. I just thought, give me the cash. I'm just being honest. Well, bless the people. I'm sure they'll be happy anyway, but I need the money. And I thought, well, this will be good. Thank you, Jesus. And I went to this preach, and I did a preach. Don't think it was very good, but the offering was. It was a massive, it was a, you know, a Pentecostal church. They're always good givers. And took an offering, special offering for me for being the speaker. I thought, yes, we're going on holiday. And the pastor came to me at the end with pulled out a roll of money in his hand. I tell you, you don't get very much from preaching, as those of you who preach know. But this looked awesomely big. This was at least several hundreds of pounds. And he said, Martin, we had a fantastic offering today. We want to really bless you and thank you for today. Absolutely awesome. As he lifted his hand to give it to me, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he just said, that's not yours. And I said, my hand was going out to receive it. And I turned around like that and closed his hand. I said, put it in the offering for yourselves, bro. I don't need it. I don't need it. It's fine. Yeah. I thought, Margaret, kill me. He said, Martin, are you sure? There's a lot of money. I said, I'm absolutely sure. Don't worry, bro. I can cry about it in the car, but it's very important to do what God says. To do what God says. The Holy Spirit just speaks like that to you and keeps you on the right track. Later, that church folded. And one of the reasons was unrighteousness with money. The pastor had to step down. That's scary. The Holy Spirit's protecting us. That's not yours. Okay, Lord, it's not yours. How many people think we went on holiday? Oh, yes. God looks after his own, his way. But it's vital you can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Hear it clearly enough so that you're able to obey it on the spot. Save you a lot of trouble. And often I haven't, and I've had to go back and put things right and do it in a more awkward way. But hearing the Holy Spirit saves you from a lot of grief, brothers and sisters. Dreams are totally biblical. The Bible's full of dreams. Some of you might dream a lot. Some of you might not. I don't dream normally, but so if I have a dream, usually it's like significant. Either I've slept in a bit, which is very unusual for me. I've never been able to sleep in. I don't know how teenagers do it. It's just like it's demonic to me. But anyway, but if I sometimes do go back to sleep a little bit for another half hour, then I can dream. And it's usually nothing, you know, it's ridiculous what we've been talking about the day before. There are other dreams that are of God, and they're very, very clear. And they're marked, and they're significant. And I don't think they're all the time, but note them, and you can follow them, and you can trust them, you know. Often I said to you on Sunday, I can dream something that's going to happen, and it happens exactly as I see it in the dream, exactly. Now she's going to bring a prophecy, now he's going to come up there, now I need to do this, because that's what I saw in the dream. And that's just been open to the voice of the Holy Spirit. All these things are just the voice of God in different ways. He's creative, he speaks to you in different ways, different times, as he chooses. That's up to him. If you don't have dreams of God, ask him for them. Say, Lord, I want to hear you. I want to hear you in it while I'm asleep. I want to hear you while I'm awake. Praying before you go to sleep is a key for all of life. You know what I said on Sunday about me and Margaret? It's important. Pray when you wake up. Pray when you go to sleep. Your sleep is important. The devil attacks you in the night. Pray. Pray before you go to sleep. Not in fear, just in joy. Thank the Lord for the day. Ask him to bless your sleep. Give you peace while you sleep. You'll sleep differently. Read a little bit of Bible before you fall asleep. The Bible's great for getting you to fall asleep. There's no book like it. Open your Bible, you'll be off. And I think that does help with purifying what you're going to hear dream-wise. And I think you should earnestly desire these things. And, you know, and some dreams have been so directional, have absolutely saved me and changed the direction of what I was doing. I can tell you, I think, you know, if I've had 10 dreams, if I've had 5 dreams like that in the last 30 years, so I'm just giving you the reality of how often these things actually happen. But more of the dreams where I'm seeing what's going to happen, but I'm talking about dreams that actually change direction. God speaks to you through the Bible. God speaks to you through the wisdom of others. God speaks to you, you know, he speaks to you through others. I mean, he really does speak to you through others, you know. Often if we're getting not sure of something, I'll book in a car journey with Ian. Let's go somewhere, where anywhere. Because when we get in the car and we talk, God talks to us, through us, with us. We get vision for stuff, faith for stuff. Talking together, God can really speak to you through one another. Or as you're speaking, you hear yourself and, oh yeah, that's God. You become confirmed in something. Paul rang me on the way here. He said, brother, can I just ask you about something, yeah? I'm on loudspeaker because I'm driving, go on. There's just someone I need to ask you about. There's just a situation. Yeah, go on. And as he's speaking, I'm thinking, yeah, he knows the answer already. And he's giving himself the answer. And before me even answering him, he says, oh, yeah, brother, that's what I'm going to do. I can see that. That's just all I need to do. Thanks for your advice. Oh, I haven't given you any. Thanks, Paul. See you later. Ding. And that's what fellowship's for. It's for going, you know, with, as you speak, you're hearing God often, confirming things to you. Sorry, those some of you need to go. Bless you. You're very, very welcome. Sorry, we're hanging around for breakfast. No, we're not. 2 more and then I'm done. Oh, no, sorry, 3 more. Oh, it'll be on tape, yeah. Reel to reel, Julie. Me and you are the same age. That's what I would say. Is it on tape? Yeah, it's been recorded, is the modern way of saying it. So, and I think this has been recorded several times, and I might have done it better other times, so you can listen to the old ones if you want. Trance, right, is a weird one, but I'm going to push the edge with you. This is a different word. It's interesting. He's the Apostle Peter. The keys of the kingdom he's got, and he falls into a trance, and he's not at a rave with a load of friends. He's not on ecstasy. He's praying, and it's a trance. Interesting. Different Greek word to vision, different Greek word to dream, different Greek word to voice. It is a trance. The Greek word means in a subconscious state. It's almost funny, this, for me. He's on the roof. He's starving, hungry. They're cooking the dinner. He's praying. He's smelling this food. And he's drifting. Right? He's drifting. I think this is the closest thing to soaking. I think we call this soaking. If you soak in the Holy Spirit, and let yourself in the Holy Spirit. I mean, we're not meditating on a Josh stick here, are we? Or emptying our minds. We're asking Jesus to let us rest in his presence. And we're making ourselves available to hear him. You can drift a bit. You can, it's all right. And in that drifting, you'll begin to see. you'll begin to see God will speak through your imagination. I think this is how visions and dreams are developed. Seeing a vision is very similar to soaking and letting your imagination move in the direction the Holy Spirit's taking it. As long as it's good. Imagination is from God, isn't it? Just close your eyes for a moment. And let's just imagine something. Let's imagine a nice bowl of fruit. A couple of bananas on the right. Some green apples on the left. Nice red apple in the middle. It's up to you which one you pick, but just pick an apple. Bring it slowly to your mouth. Look at the skin. Gorgeous. Bite it. The saliva's moving in your mouth right now. That's how powerful imagination is. What's the difference between that and the vision? Nothing. Just one's inspired by you. That's called your imagination. One's inspired by God who uses your imagination. Absolutely no different. Obviously, the devil can inspire that and tempt you. You can see a nude woman dancing, fellas, if you want. But we won't do that one today. We'll stick with the apples. And it won't be your saliva glands that move then. Something else will begin to move. You sexually, you'll start to move in the wrong direction. That's how temptation works. The devil inspires your imagination. You, if you're not careful, you can give him access to that. Obviously, access to that also comes through what you're watching and listen to. We haven't got time to do that, but I'm just showing you that your imagination is open to you, open to the devil, but it's open to God. And that's how trances and visions and seeing in the spirit works. It's totally natural, supernatural, actually. You don't have to wait for something to happen that is totally other than you. No, you use this mechanics all the time in your life. All the time. Every time you read a book, every time you read a novel, every time you read your Bible, you're using your imagination. You're seeing Goliath. You're seeing... And that's it's really important, that surrender to God. It's very important. If you want to move in the Holy Spirit and see things in the Holy Spirit, you imagine something that's happening. You believe it's going to happen. You make it happen. That's how faith works. It is. Exactly like that. The inspiration of it comes from God. Faith comes through hearing. As you hear God, you believe it, you see it, you claim it, you go for it, you take steps towards it, it happens. Whether it's a miracle or a financial breakthrough or a change in your job or a better marriage, I'm telling you this is how it works. It's how faith and prayer work. You have to be able to see it. All these people who've experienced revival and mega churches all speak about, I saw it before it ever happened. I saw stadiums filled with people. Billy Graham used to go and preach to the trees and say, but I just saw stadiums full of people. He imagined it. The Holy Spirit was painting his picture. Cesar Castellanos, who was probably the second biggest church in the world, says that dreams are the language of the Holy Spirit. He works with pictures. He shows you pictures. That's something to develop. Some of us are very sort of arty and we can do that. Women are usually very good at that. That's why women love novels. And that's why for women, romance novels and things can be a real temptation, a problem. Because of fantasy, men are much, usually, it's not always the case, but men are often more boom, 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 switch off, compartmentalized. And it's often harder for a man to relax and get in the flow of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit flow. So you can begin to see things in the Holy Spirit and pray them into being. Anyway, that's what was happening there. He had a trance. He was drifting, subconscious, half asleep, relaxed, not totally out like a light, but just resting. That's what happened to the Apostle Peter. In that context, God speaks to him, shows him something. Vision. Last thing I'll say about visions is this. When you see something from God, you're soaking or you're in worship, you're praying and you see something from God. Again, how do you know it's you or how do you know it's God? A similar thing, I think with God there's always a wow factor. There's a wow about the vision. There's a this is incredible. This is a sign. This is a wonder to me. I think with us it's often hollow, predictable. and it's unexpected. Usually what you see in a vision is unexpected. Right, do you know what? I think that's enough. Bless you, you've listened enough. Is there any questions or any thoughts? And then we'll do a little activation.